Hello, everybody. My name is Ramon, and this is Ramon's Gadget Talk for Tuesday, 13th of October, 2020. Okay, I was supposed to drop one on Monday, but procrastination came, butted in the way, or rather, some unfortunate circumstances. But oh well, obviously, today is Apple's iPhone event. Yes, there was an event last month, but it was about the obviously iPads and the Apple Watches. We talked about it in a previous episode. But obviously, by the time you probably sit around to listening to this, the Apple iPhone event probably would have happened already, and obviously the iPhone 12 would have come out. That's probably in the next episode, the one after, after this one. So probably this will be the. So we're gonna talk anything announced at the iPhone event today. You'll get to hear it in the following episode after this one that I'll try to drop sometime between later today, before obviously before midnight. Today and probably Wednesday, hopefully. But oh well, you probably just hear from past me on this one. But there's a lot. I think there's a lot that's been talked about of the iPhone, of the iPhone 12 and the other devices that are coming out. The iPhone 12, really, a lot has been talked about. Could there be 5G? Could there not be 5G? Could there be 120 Hz? Could there not be 120 Hz? Will they have? Will it be bigger? Will it be smaller? Will they really have an iPhone 12 mini? Again, can't wait for the event to happen today. I think it's just one thing for sure. Tuesday came around really quick, real quick. So that's the thing. So what are we really expecting to see today? There'll be the iPhone 12 series, sort of a lineup of iPhone 12 phones. So this will be the iPhone 12 mini, which is sort of a new affordable iPhone 12 to compete with a lot of sort of phones at that price range, really. You just guess the Galaxy S20 FE, Pixel 5, and all that. And then you have the iPhone 12, the main iPhone 12. And then afterwards, there is the AirTags, hopefully. We don't know. We've heard reports that the AirTags could be delayed to next year. Possibly, and there have been such reports coming out, and also the HomePod Mini and the AirPod Studio, and obviously a new Apple TV. I probably added that one last one in because I've been hearing that they could probably be offering, they could launch an iPhone, an Apple TV. Sorry, so that's for sure. Aside from that. The apologies for a long silence. I'm going, kind of going through the data, really. But according to Mac Rumors, they've kind of, and they're sort of summary guide that I'm reading through. Apparently, this time all the new iPhones will have an OLED display, which is interesting. And a lot of affordable phones have been getting OLED displays, Realme 7 Pro, and many, many more. And so, so that will be interesting to see. As in the invite photos, as in the sort of the Apple logo sort of that was circling around, they're probably again the iPhone could launch in blue finally to match the Apple Watch Series 6, and it looks really nice. So that's the thing that's to be expected. I mean, there's nothing much else to say really, but I mean, and also 5G is kind of interesting with the iPhone 12 because apparently. The iPhone 12 Pro Max could have, we've talked about a few weeks ago on the episode, the iPhone 12 Pro Max could have millimeter wave 5G, could be the one with only with millimeter wave 5G, because obviously reception is quite horrible for now, and not many places have millimeter wave 5G. But the interesting story that's come out last couple of days is apparently the Telegraph reported this, again quoting through Mac Rumors, that the iPhone 12 may have a difficult time kind of selling in UK, because apparently the iPhone 12's 5G chip cannot support the 700 megahertz 5G band. Apparently in the UK, 700, obviously UK obviously has low and mid band 5G for now, because millimeter wave is very ultra high, is in the sort of ultra high spectrum frequency range, and obviously the UK government will take a pretty lengthy time to roll out, to release the spectrum for millimeter wave 5G service. So that means a lot of providers that have ended up buying 5G spectrum have been low and mid band, obviously. And this is low and mid band 5G is the flavor 5G used, as I said earlier in the last couple of episodes. I've explained this, really, that low and mid band 5G has been really the more popular of the various flavors of 5G that have come out. Millimeter wave with the higher bands, and then mid band, low band 5G. Mid band, I think, is millimeter is sub 6, and that's been more popular than millimeter wave, really, because of how much closer it is to regular cellular networks. But obviously in the UK, that's pretty much how a lot of providers have been able to buy, have been able to launch 5G straight away. But that means that obviously other British providers like EE and Vodafone will probably have a hard time, offering 5G on the iPhone 12. But apparently, three has the specific frequencies, or had a wider range of 5G frequencies that it bought a few years back for its 5G network. Well, it made a 5G network now, and that means that if you're on the 3 network, I'm sure not many people in the UK use 3. I mean, if you're listening from the UK, what provider do you use? Just let me tweet at me, reply to me, let me know if you want to share it. But 3 has enough frequencies, essentially. They've bought enough frequencies, really, that they can offer low band 5G service for the iPhone 12. So that'll be interesting. But probably over time, 5G will probably be available in more places, and that's the thing, really. So, and also, what about places that don't offer 5G service? That could be the difficulty waiting to happen. So that's that. That was one rumor to share, really. That's one sort of interesting tidbit. Another interesting tidbit is from this Chinese leaker on Weibo, and he wrote this really long sort of guide, sort of what he thinks could happen. So a user on Weibo for the name of Kang wrote sort of this is a translate. I'm reading what is essentially a translated version. It's sort of confirming a lot of these details. Apple's 14th press conference summary. Speaker Apple, this is going roughly from Chinese. HomePod Mini priced at $99, 3.3 inches high, which is the overall size. God, that's so tiny. Jeez, that's really tiny. That's way smaller than a can of Coke. That's like size of a Coke can. Oh well, S5 processor, Apple's SoC. That can run Siri and stuff. Most places are scheduled for November 6th and 7th, and will be on sale on November 16th and 17th, which means that they will open pre-orders next month. They'll release it next month, essentially, while we're at it. And then moved on to iPhone. So it's talking 4 models of iPhone 12 mini. The starting price is $699, which is exactly what I was thinking. Colors are black, white, red, blue, and green. Blue is interesting because, I'm blue, okay, anyways, I digress. And then an interesting thing is that the iPhone 12 mini is 5.4 inches. iPhone 12, 6.1 inches. Starting price is $799. And colors are black, white, red, blue, and green. And then he kind of go on about the iPhone 12 Pro. So its starting price is $999. About $1,000, essentially. 6.1 inches too, but it's the Pro. And it'll come in, and this is where it changes, really. Gold, silver, graphite, and blue. So it's shaping up to be a bit like last year's iPhone 11 lineup, but this time there'll be an iPhone 12 mini out of the gate, so that's the interesting thing. iPhone 12 Pro Max, 6.7 inches, starting at $1,099, and four colors are gold, silver, graphite, and blue. So pretty obviously matte funky colors like the iPhone 11, so a little accurate. This is starting to be a little bit accurate, to be honest. And then another tidbit he added on top of this, again, this is translated Chinese, so it's a bit rough, so, all of which are 5G models. At present, only the US model has the millimeter wave standard, which is kind of true, sort of. This is what I've been saying I said this a few weeks ago, sort of. Some folks reported this already. The 12 mini and 12 memory capacity options are 64 gigabytes, 120 gigabytes, and 256 gigabytes. The Pro and Pro Max obviously will start at 120 gigabytes, double what the 12 and 12 mini will start at base, and go all the way up to 512 gigabytes, half a terabyte of storage. The four screens are Super Retina XDR display, and there's a new screen glass technology, ceramic shield front cover. Is simply a ceramic substrate glass which increases the hardness and resistance to drop. I can see plenty of funky videos coming off. They do drop test and the screen still is there, and you know. The name of wireless charging returns to MagSafe with a power of 15 watts. Now, this was an interesting rumor that kind of came, and that was that Apple could, that there could be a new wireless charging charger standard that Apple could offer, and they're gonna use a new, and they're gonna reuse the regular name for their sort of for their magnetic chargers that they have for the MacBooks, MagSafe, and we're gonna start out with wireless charging cases and accessories, sort of, they'll call it MagSafe. I'm sure they're gonna brag about optimizations and greater power efficiency and lower heat consumption, and I'm sure they're gonna, it's thinner and faster. Oh well. So that's that. But it says 15 watts wireless fast charging, which is interesting. This is Apple, mind you. And then another tidbit was the four mobile phones can directly shoot Dolby Vision, which means they'll do record videos but straight in Dolby Vision. I'm kind of curious to hear to see what that is, which is interesting. There's this bright spot in the function smart data mode. My understanding is that 4G, 5G is allocated according to the application bandwidth. Specific big data throughput applications use 5G, which is estimated to be save power. Okay, interesting. And then it kind of went on and on. The iPhone 12 mini has like a, will have like, it got full details really. Dual camera with wide and ultra wide angle sensor. iPhone 12 will have a wide angle and ultra wide angle camera. So essentially the iPhone 12 mini is basically an iPhone 12 completely, but it's a smaller version, and it's that iPhone, it's maybe that iPhone SE we could have thought of, but you know, it's more flagshipy, so it's for those people still wanted the compact phone, so that's interesting. And it also stated here that Deep Fusion Night Mode have gotten better, which is apparently true. The iPhone 12 Pro and Pro Max, okay, the Pro and Pro Max, both of them will have triple three sensors, and then it'll have a LiDAR sensor, and that's when what we've been hearing a lot about the iPhone 12 Pros. The Pros will have LiDAR, and especially the Pro Max will have millimeter wave 5G, so it'll make it an ultimate Pro phone. So that was interesting, really. I mean, essentially, we kind of read through almost the whole spec of the iPhone 12. This is what we're expecting to see in the iPhone 12. So, I mean, it's quite interesting what we have here in terms of, I mean, it'll be a good introduction to speed, really. But more so about the HomePod Mini, really, and this is what, because I've kind of been kind of watching on this, because obviously Google and Amazon have released their smart speakers, and so you know, Apple should probably have a new smart speaker to be compete with those brands for the holiday season. And also, and an interesting part was how Ken kind of explained that the HomePod Mini will probably cost $99, and essentially the 3.3-inch speaker size will probably be just half, or roughly half, of the original HomePod. So if the HomePod is a little cubic, again, it'll probably be a little bigger than a Coke can, which is a can of Coke, which is interesting. So it may go on sale on 16th and 17th of November, maybe 16th of November to be exact. Mark Gurman from Bloomberg suggested that the new speaker could have just two tweeters to save a lot of cost. Hopefully it'll probably be it still maintain that hi-fi sound. I'm sure they're gonna do a lot of optimizations to the sound. So that's that, really. I mean, that was what we've been hearing, that's what we've heard about. But then more than everything, there was the HomePod Mini and the Apple and the new Apple TV. Both could possibly have the ultra wideband chip, and that means it can track And this is another clue that came in the Apple event invite, which is, you know, the circles all come together. And that means that there's probably going to be, they're going to work on ultra wideband technology. But more so, both devices could basically be sort of tracking stations, so they're able to detect your devices and can, you know, tell you where it is exactly because it's so accurate. But more so, that it could help. So apparently, this is from John. Again, this claim for ultra wideband has come from John Prosser. HomePod Mini and new Apple TV will both act as UWB base stations, will accurately track your location as you walk inside house with other U1 devices, use info for media controls, brightness and volume control, and door locks, turns regular hardware into HomeKit hardware, can also be used in the Find My app, when you're away from home to alert you if any of your devices have been moved within or taken from your home, which is kind of interesting, to say the least. I mean, the AirTags, again, the rumor is kind of coming that the AirTags would probably not be coming out till next year, which is fascinating. But I like what it sounds. This may look a little accurate. I mean, sounds like imagination, but wow, UWB ultra wideband tech that's really stuck inside. Integrate into the HomePod Mini and the Apple TV, newer Apple TV, and both pretty much. And you put it obviously in the corner of your home. If you talk about Apple TV, if you have an iPhone, already you have Apple Watches, and okay, yeah, if you think about it, the AirTags are not already coming out this year, but the Apple Watches have ultra wideband technology because they have the so the chipsets to support it, I believe. I mean, here's the scenario. It's a little like what you do with AirPods. You pop the AirPods out, the music automatically pauses. And so, it could be a bit like this. You walk out of your room and you're watching you're binging on, let's just say you're watching HBO Max and you're binging through a series already. You decide to get up and go for a toilet break. Not like I judge you, but, well, you are free to do so. You just walk up and you have your Apple Watch on you already. And so the ultra wideband tech is such that you're binging a series, you just get up and go to a toilet, walk off, and the Apple TV automatically pauses the whatever is playing on the TV, which is kind of genius now I think about it. And then HomeKit part is awesome because just think about it. You walk out of the room, for example, it now remembers that it senses that the Apple Watch is outside of range. And so, it would just shut off lights. It could lock your door, which it could turn down the bright. It could pause your content around you. It can pause your music. It's kind of cool. Or it can shift your music if you talk about the HomePods. Really, you shift your music. You know, you're listening to some dance beats in the living room. You walk up and go to your bedroom completely, because why not? And then it starts playing it on the other HomePod, and also there'll probably be we care about your privacy. Apple cares about your privacy. We don't sell your data. We don't take your data to the cloud. Which could probably be. They could also argue the privacy element, where they can't. I mean, they can't. They don't really know what you're up to. It's just that it's ultra wideband tech. It's right there locally, at your home. It's running right there on device, you know. So I'm sure that it's really cool that they're using these sensors to sense whether you're there, and then it'll control your home and your entertainment consumption with it, and it'll play back with your movies or your music or something, making a really smart home. But also the privacy element, the data that you walk out of your room, we don't take it to the cloud and then bring it back there. You know, we care about your privacy, you know. This is Apple, typical Apple. They'll probably do that. I'm sure if they will talk about this, they'll probably argue about the privacy element, that they don't track you and stuff, and it'll be pretty freaking awesome. So that's that. So genuinely can't wait for what's to come today. And again, as I said, earlier said, I mean, if you really want to hear my reaction and overall first impressions of these devices. And I'll again just listen to the next coming episode. It'll just pop straight after this one, probably hopefully later today or tomorrow, hopefully, if we have the time to do so, assuming that. So genuinely can't wait for these new devices. So speaking of smart home stuff, Google has released a new thermostat. A new Nest thermostat, and this is basically a nicer, it's a more stylish and slimmer version of the famous Nest thermostat, really the smart home control device that started it all, really. So the newest Nest thermostat costs $130. Instead of it doesn't have a dial anymore. It has this Soli strip that where you move it around, it can change, you can control the thermostat with gestures. Apparently, it's okay. You can't use it for sensor control. You can't use it to do gestures on it. But apparently, it can automatically detect when you're standing in front of the thermostat and just wake up, which is kind of cool. So that's that. But there's not much improvement really. There is. You can just swipe through the interface to check your temperature and to adjust your temps, and you can control the thermostat from your Google Home app, and also it works with Alexa, mind you. So that's that. The color is really cool for four colorways: white, pink, gray, and kind of a light blue color, which faint blue color, pretty much. So that's that. It can also prompt you to adjust temperature levels for more efficiency, and can alert you to potential issues with the HVAC system or when it's time to change your air filter, which is kind of awesome given these days, really. Pretty cool stuff. I mean, there's not much to say, really, but here's the interesting thing. The third generation Nest learning thermostat, where it learns your data and then it can adjust your temperature. That older thermostat, you can still buy it from the Google Store after all, so that kind of be great for those. If you still want the old school Nest, I mean, now that's going to go down price quite a lot, so that's that, really. Pretty cool stuff from Google. Moving on. So as I was saying, really, that the iPhone 12 series probably could all have 5G. We just have to find out today. But while you wait for the iPhone 12, if you don't want to spend a lot of money, then Samsung's got you a new phone, the Galaxy A42. It's Samsung's cheapest 5G phone in the West, pretty much, that they finally launched. Now, they've announced this in the UK. A brand new affordable 5G phone, the Samsung Galaxy A52 5G. This will start from £350, obviously not including taxes and stuff. And obviously it'll probably be Samsung's more affordable 5G phone, obviously after the A51, A71 that came in 5G variants. The A42 is powered by the Snapdragon 750G, which is a little less powerful than the 765G. That's in the Google Pixel 5 and OnePlus Nord. And this is competing with the OnePlus Nord. So for £30 or so, you could get a OnePlus Nord, but oh well. You get 4 gigabytes of RAM, 128 gigabytes of storage. MicroSD cards are supported. 6.6-inch Full HD Plus Infinity U with a teardrop display, a teardrop notch. Display 5000 milliamp power battery with fast charging, and comes in three colors, black, white, and gray. But this funky design, which is a bit jarring, frankly, is just like you feel like it's a little pixelated. They call it Glastic, so it's a little gloss, it's a little glass, it has that glass polish, but it's plastic pretty much. It has this like multi-tone finish, it's like the color forming into this, or maybe it's just Samsung trying to save money, you know, because they're like, we can't make it the whole color, let's just do a multi-tone finish. We can use a little bit of each material, little amount of each paint, little bit of paint, so only the top part has the most amount of paint, and so they save money. Smart Samsung. They gotta save money. Oh well, and it has four cameras at the back. So you got 48 megapixel main sensor, 8 megapixel ultra wide, and two additional sensors for which we have no idea what they are. I'm sure they're just macros and zoom macros sensors. And you get 20 megapixel selfie camera on teardrop notch to get to do obviously HD calls and video calls and stuff. So essentially, without really without any additional price cuts, this is starting from £349 or essentially £350. But obviously there is the Pixel 4a 5G and OnePlus Nord, but obviously the Pixel 4a 5G is a tad bit more expensive. And OnePlus Nord is just, well, I mean, if you're in the UK and you really don't care about brand royalty, the other thing is the UK already, if you live in England, if you live in the UK, I mean, all my Gs have so many brands to choose from already. Obviously, a lot of big Chinese phone brands have hit the UK market. Huawei was the first. Xiaomi, Oppo, Vivo, and Realme have all hit through the UK market. Just now, Realme launched the OnePlus 7 and 7 Pro in the UK. So all my Gs can get the 7 Pro. It's a mental price tag for the specs you're asking for. And you get an AMOLED display, pretty much. That's what I know. But A42, though, you get 5G connection, essentially. You can get on the sub-6 5G networks. But as I said, if you live, if you really live in the, in, if you really from a Manchester, London crowd, and you'd probably buy this one because you get 5G service. All the major networks have their 5G service. And we already talked about how, you know, 3 has a strong 5G network, and then obviously Vodafone EE have mainly mid-band networks, so they don't have a low-band signal, but they have a mid-band network. This phone obviously work with mid-band and low-band 5G out of the gate, so EE, Vodafone, O2, 3, all of them should not be a problem, really. But I'd probably recommend the OnePlus Nord. It's a really cool phone. 5G would not be an issue, really. It's not really a problem. My G's, it's a little bit pricier, but my mate, it's cheap. It's obviously good value for money. You get a 675G and solid cameras. But obviously, if you still want Samsung, I mean, this is the solid option. A51 and A71 are ones to look for. Obviously, they're going to be going down in price. Their Black Fridays are happening, bank holiday sales and stuff. No, is there a Black Holiday? No, that's Boxing Day. Obviously, holiday sales are coming, and the A51 and A71 will obviously come down in price a little bit for a few hundred quid less. So, but do consider this one. I mean, the A42, I mean, if you're in the UK, obviously, it's already available in Asia and Europe, obviously. We don't know about that, but it's quite an interesting phone. I mean, a super cheap 4G phone, finally. I mean, I keep saying it. I mean, this year is about to end, and we have phones that are very, very cheap. They've come down way about a fifth of the price. Samsung's first 5G phone more than a year or so ago was £1,500 or ish. So it's dropped by way beyond that. So now you can get, essentially, you can get three of these A42s for the price of a S10 5G if it came out at launch. So yeah, I mean, if you watch this space, then you get a cheaper 5G phone. Oh, well, and finally, this is not really a bit of a big story, but Huawei Mate 40 is finally coming out October 22nd. God, I feel like I forgot that Huawei, I mean, okay, I'm sorry, I don't want to be arrogant, really. I mean, I like Huawei's devices. I mean, my sisters own Huawei smartphones, but I'm sorry, I kind of forgot Huawei was making smartphones. Wait, they're making a smartphone? Huh, wait a minute. Oh, okay, Mate 40, okay, cool. You know, because the thing is, it doesn't have Google services on it. Not many people talk about it. P40, it released in March, and then that was pretty much it. That's it. P40. Cool. There wasn't any Google or anything, so yeah. We don't know much about it, sadly, because it doesn't carry that much attention, but all we kind of know is that it'll get a triple or quad sensor camera grid, and it'll be a bit like the Mate 30. You get a OLED 90Hz FHD Plus display, obviously at 6.4 inches, and then you'll have and then the Mate 40 Pro will be a bigger one with 6.7 inches, and then there's a Kirin 9000, but interesting about the Kirin 9000 It'll probably be the last high-speed Huawei chip it might get to see, given the current conditions with Huawei. I mean, they've been hit with all sorts of, with the kind of restrictions, really. So, we really don't know much. I mean, all we know is that Huawei just tweeted that they are launching the Mate 40 on October 22nd. I kind of forgot that Huawei is releasing a new phone soon. I mean, I'm in Pakistan, mind you. And Huawei is still releasing phones, but obviously the Y series phones and stuff. And those have been selling really well. It's not like people are not buying Huawei phones. Some are buying it. And obviously, App Gallery has not been much of a problem if you look at local apps, if you're talking about banking or obviously some local applications, some local apps and services. That's been a non-issue. But obviously outside of it, software is a real problem. It's like buying an iPhone and finding out that there's no app store. It literally is like that feeling. You buy an iPhone and there's no app store. The moment the app store came, and with it a bajillion applications and iPhones, you know how it went. The rest is history, really. They sold like hotcakes. So that's the thing, really. It'll probably be a good solid option in China, obviously, but if you're in China already, there already are a lot of competing products, really. Oppo and probably Huawei, Xiaomi, have quite a lot of exciting options. And that's the thing, really. Huawei has been falling, but obviously it's been Oppo, Vivo, and Xiaomi's year, really. They've been growing like bananas, and obviously they've been getting a bigger and bigger market share. Xiaomi is now the fourth largest phone maker in the world, mind you, overall. And if they continue their descents into Europe and North America, if Xiaomi locks in the American market, I am kind of confident. Now, okay, Oppo, Vivo, I mean, its parent company BBK Electronics would easily crack the top three. If well strategized, it could crack into the top three without a problem. If it has some more solid options, they really, Oppo especially, they launch more Find X phones, more Renault phones, and they start targeting them greater on the Western market, then they could conquer the top three without a problem. But really, and with Realme and OnePlus, really, they already have gotten into the Western sort of premium headset market. But Xiaomi, I mean, I think they have a way better chance, in my own opinion, because of one simple thing. Xiaomi phones use Qualcomm chipsets, Snapdragons, all the way, Snapdragon CPUs, Snapdragon GPUs with it, Qualcomm's networking chips, Xiaomi's phones all have it, and it's still cheap, mind you, after everything. And phones with Qualcomm chipsets work really well on American networks and some European networks. If you talk about American networks, obviously all the major networks would support without a problem. And so, you talk about technology, from that point of view, technically speaking, Xiaomi has a good of a chance. And MIUI has gotten really better. MIUI 12 is rock solid. It's quite intuitive and it's much nicer and cleaner. And, you know, Western users would probably get a lot of users in the West would probably be happily using MIUI. And Realme UI, and they'll probably be happy to use it. It's almost like stock Android. It's a tad bit faster, obviously. And so they probably have a better chance at getting that bigger market share that Huawei wasn't able to crack into. So that's interesting situation that we're seeing. Interesting. It's weird. Kind of forgot that Huawei is making a Mate 40. They're focusing a lot on their laptops and wearables. Those are where they've been putting their attention, really. It's the smartphone world. It's quite aggressive. There are a lot of industry, there are a lot of market factors, there are a lot of external factors, there are a lot of internal factors. Brands come and go as it is. It feels like it. So, I mean, Samsung and Apple, you could say, have been around from the very beginning, and then a lot of brands have come in and come gone. Nokia, for example. Nokia was kind of there in the smartphone race with Windows phones. Then they disappeared for a bit. Then they launched the, and then they, and then afterwards, they finally launched the HMD-made phones, and now they have a bit of a market share, but they're still not there back to the glory days because they aren't making that many phones or having that quality of smartphones, really, that they were used to be known for, that level and spec and price tags. They're not competing, really. Oppo, Vivo, and Xiaomi are really going to be winning, and probably Realme and OnePlus are all in the winning, really, to be the new sort of smartphone players. They could probably have the bigger market share, essentially. So, I mean, the smartphone industry is quite aggressive. It's one of the most aggressive industries. I mean, if I'm not an expert in business really, but if I were to tell you where to put money, if you had billions of dollars, my advice is just launch a software or cloud service, instead of launching a smartphone brand. Cloud-based services would reach billions of users instantly. The snap, it's just an app. It's on every device really. Devices take a long time to be in people's hands. It requires you to compete on such an aggressive level, and you already see it. It's quite brutal out there. It's a brutal world out there really, with the smartphone industry. So it's not easy. It's one of the hardest really out there. I mean, probably easier to win in the smart TV sector because over there, but the thing is, it's hard because there are a lot of factors at play: quality, software, hardware, sales, marketing, a lot of factors that we don't simply see behind. There are a lot of things behind the back doors that we don't see really. So it's quite an aggressive world out there. I mean, if you could make an app and that lets people order food and click of a button, do that. It's probably better profit. It's more, way more profitable than selling cheap phones for 10 years and then just going bankrupt as a result. So, oh well, I digress. That was the podcast. There'll be another, obviously another episode. It'll be for the Apple event and every some of my reactions. So hopefully I'll drop it today or obviously tomorrow. So until then, thanks for listening. Subscribe to the podcast. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Sade underscore Mount 99. And thanks for listening. Have a great day, and ciao. See you later.